Actually, Maria, thank you for mentioning Deanwood in your prayer, because I'd completely forgotten to mention that this Friday we're at Deanwood for those who can make it. If anyone wants to come along, 11 o'clock, it'll be finished by 12 o'clock. But if you are free and fancy coming along, thank you.
No.
Yeah, that would be good. And if anyone wants to do a prayer or a reading, then that would be good. Let me know. But we'll be there about 10:45 for any who can make it. Right. When I was thinking sort of vaguely over the last 24 hours about what I was going to say, I thought that the best thing to do when you're not sure is just talk about what's on your heart at the moment, talk about what's on your mind. So that's sort of what I'm going to try and do. I hope it isn't too jumbled. Say it's not very well prepared. It might be a bit repetitive of things I've said before, but hopefully it will make a bit of sense. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, the last few verses, very well-known verses, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" The last words that Jesus spoke, the last vision we have of him, apart from the bit in Acts where he goes up to heaven. So the last words obviously are quite important. And I think it's quite interesting, isn't it, that verse 17, when the disciples saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. This isn't the bit what I was going to talk about, but I just found that interesting, that even at that stage, some doubted. And that says to me, actually, it's okay sometimes to have doubts. It's okay to have doubts sometimes. It's okay to have doubts sometimes. Sometimes we're not sure about everything. We're not as sure as we maybe feel we should be. It's okay as Christians to have doubts about some things. That wasn't what I was going to talk about, but as I saw that in there, I thought that'd be good to talk about. But it's verse 19 more. Verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, obviously, back then, there was very, 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 very few disciples in a tiny little part of the world. And somehow, God's plan was to get that message out to the rest of the world. And over the last 2,000 years, pretty much, that's happened in a large way. And obviously, most nations, possibly all nations, certainly most nations, most people in the world, will have heard of Jesus in one form or another now, 2,000. So the going to all nations has sort of happened, but sort of needs to still happen. But the way I read that more as more relevant to us today is almost like an as you go. As you go, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all people. The ones and twos that you come across in your daily lives, the ones or twos that I come across in my daily life, we need to be thinking about how we make disciples of all nations. Is my grandson running away from his mother? How do we make disciples of all nations? How do we do that in 2023? Because I don't think most of us are called to go abroad to preach the gospel. Some people are, without a doubt. Without a doubt, some people are at different times, and that's absolutely right. But I don't think all of us are called to do that. But we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus in whatever way. And it's that I want to think about. And the thought that keeps coming to my mind lately, over the last few weeks and months, how do we make Jesus relevant today to people, to those who are out there? Not to us here. Us here aren't the important ones on this, if you don't mind me saying so. All those out there who aren't here, who are doing good things today, or exciting things, or lazy things, or whatever, and aren't giving a thought to Jesus. How do we somehow make Jesus relevant to them? If you think about family, or friends, or anyone you come across who you meet, you spend time with, who isn't a Christian, or you don't think is a Christian, how do we make Jesus relevant to them? I haven't got the answer to that, by the way. That's for us to work through as individuals. But we do need to think about how we can do it to the individuals we come into contact with. A lot of the friends I have, a lot of people I spend time with, aren't Christians, or certainly aren't churchgoers. It's not my judgment to say whether people are Christians or not, to be honest, but certainly aren't churchgoers. But I spend a lot of time with people. We were out yesterday on a tour of the Longman Brewery, which was very good. People I used to work with, I sort of see quite socially quite regularly. And it's good to spend time with them. One of the big worries I have, I said this to Sue last week, one of the big worries I have about going to heaven is that there's only going to be Christians there. I don't mean I'm joking when I say that, by the way. I'm joking. Sort of. But do I spend time with people who aren't Christians or aren't churchgoers to witness to them? No, I don't. Should I? I don't think that should be my first imperative, if you like. Spend time with people because I enjoy their company and I like them. We need to spend time with people because we enjoy their company and we want to get to know them and their friends. But as part of that friendship, I need to think through how I can be a witness to these people in whatever way. And that isn't necessarily words, certainly not always words. Sometimes it might be words. We need to think about how we make Jesus relevant, how we show that Jesus can be relevant. We don't just need to spend time with people because we want to see them converted or we want to see them come to church, because actually that's the wrong starting point, I think, in some ways. We want to spend time with people because we like them, because we love them, because we want to get to know people. And as part of that, to be a witness to them, to find ways of making Jesus relevant to them. A couple of verses I want to read. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12. Because I think it's more to do. Our words are important. How we live is important. How we relate to them. If I am standing up here on a Sunday morning preaching wonderful words, but yesterday I was out with my friends shouting and swearing and doing all sorts of the wrong things, then that's not right. That's not right. I wasn't. Jane, you weren't shouting and swearing at the football yesterday, were you? I bet you felt like it at times.
No.
I did when I was watching it. Our words and how we live with people is important in terms of being a witness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to go through some of these quite quickly, particularly if I can find it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Forget the looking down on you because you're young bit. That doesn't apply to me. It applies to some of you. Don't let anyone look down on you, young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And where it says there, set an example for the believers, we also need to reflect that for people who we would say maybe aren't believers. Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And one of the, what I think is possibly one of the most, I know it's difficult to put levels of importance to verses in the Bible or things that Jesus said, but to me, one of the key things that he said, one of the most important things that he said, Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, this is the really important bit. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, they may see the way you live your life, and that will lead them to God. That is a key thing in terms of how we make Jesus relevant. How we do that, how you do that, how I do that, is, you know, different things. But by living out, in this day and age, living out our life in front of people, loving them, spending time with them, get to know them, having friends who maybe aren't believers. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We can only do that if we spend time with people. How can we do church differently? That's one of the things that we talked about a little bit last week that we're going to possibly have a lunch to talk about. How can we do church differently in 2023 in a way that makes Jesus relevant to those out there, the vast majority of all of my, who are never going to come in here, because why would they? Why would they suddenly decide to come to church on a Sunday when they've not done it the rest of their lives? How can we do church differently? How can we make Jesus relevant? I just want you for a moment to think of someone you know who you would think possibly isn't a Christian or isn't a believer, certainly isn't a churchgoer. Think of someone you know. Don't answer me, don't shout out names or anything. That's not what we're doing here. Think of someone. What would it take, do you think, to make a difference in that person's view of whether Jesus is relevant? What would it take to make a difference in that person's view of whether Jesus is relevant to their life? It's sometimes difficult to think through that, isn't it? And I don't know, I don't think any of us really know the answers, and it's the sort of thing we need to ask God by the power of his Spirit to give us insight in different situations. If you don't really know anyone who's not a Christian, is there a way you can get to know someone? If you're not really close to someone who's not a Christian, is there a way that you can get to know someone? It's very easy for church people, for Christians, to only have Christian friends. And that's not meant as a criticism. That happens. That happens in any walk of life where people are doing things. They tend to have friends who do the same things or interested in the same things. So it's not unusual. But as Christians, we are called to go out into the world. Therefore, we need to be close to people. If you don't know anyone or aren't close to anyone who's not a believer, is there a way you can get to know someone? Is there a way you can draw close to someone who's not a Christian? Let's try and think of that. No, not now, maybe, but in the week ahead. It doesn't have to be loads of people. You know, it's easy to think, oh, there's loads of people out there. How do we reach them all? I'm always reminded of things like that, that Mother Teresa, the Catholic nun, who, when she was asked about washing filthy beggars, I think in Calcutta, and said, how do you cope with the fact there's so many of them? She said, I just cope with them one at a time. I just do one at a time. And that's how we need to think sometimes about seeing people become Christians. We just need to think about them one at a time. We're probably, it'd be wonderful if we did, we're probably not at any stage going to see hundreds of people in Woodendean suddenly want to come to church here. We're probably not going to want to see that. We're not going to see hundreds of people suddenly want to know Jesus. Maybe we will be hit by revival, and that would be fantastic. But it's probably, not, certainly logically thinking anyway, it's not going to happen. But ones or twos of people, how can we make a difference in their lives? Is there something you can do? I mean, what we do in the shop, what Sue does in the shop, what others do in the shop, is just fantastic because it allows us to get to know. Sue, what you prayed then about the lady you spoke to yesterday, that is just fantastic that you could ask her and that she could answer, well, there's people in that shop who spend time, who listen to me. That is exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 28. It's exactly what he's saying about when he's talking about letting your light shine before men. We don't even have to bring people to church. Do you know, we don't even have to bring... Coming to church is not... it's great and it's good. It's good to meet together. But it's not the be-all and end-all of someone's eternal salvation. It's great that we do come to church, and it's obviously what we want to do. But we don't. We just need to spend time with people in a way that somehow allows us to be a witness to them by words, by the way we live, by our actions, by the things we do. How can you let your life shine before men or women? How can you let your life... How we live is the key. And, you know, it's not just about quoting the Bible. Some of you will know my friend Clive Kemp, who I grew up with, I've known since we were eight. We hated each other for most of our teenage years, but actually became very good friends after that. He was best man at my wedding. I was best man at his wedding. He lives up in Morpeth now. Has been for many years. Clive is very heavily involved with Methodist Church. He's very very close to the Lord. He does a lot of preaching and stuff. But many years ago, he wasn't. Without going into too many details, he definitely wasn't. And I remember him saying to me about 30 years ago, I want you to convince me that I need to be a Christian. And he said, but I don't want you to use the Bible, because the Bible's bound to say things. Yeah, we quote things from the Bible, and that's great. And the Bible is the word of God, absolutely. But he said, the Bible's bound to say good things about Jesus. It's bound to tell me that's the way to go. And I know where he was coming from. That I understood where he was coming from. That it's quite hard sometimes. And Clive, over the years, has gone through a journey, as I say, become a Christian, and is now serving. But he's, at the time, he was saying, but don't just tell me because the Bible says so, because that's not actually going to help me in my situation, because the Bible's bound to say that. And I understand where he was coming from on that. But we have to go back to the Bible and the things that we've said there. And you know, there are so many things in the Bible that I don't understand. I'm going to read you a little bit here. I'm going to come back to this passage in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to come back to verse 15, 16, 17. But I'm going to read you a bit. Don't worry about turning to it. For it is better, this is 1 Peter 3, 17, I think it is. Can't see yet. For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. I have no idea what that means, really. This bit about after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. I have no idea what that means. Absolutely no. And you know, you read commentaries and they give you ideas. It could be this, it could be this, it could be this. I have no idea. And there's lots of bits in the Bible that I have no idea what they mean. There's lots of things in the Bible that we get involved in arguments about. Satan must love it when we get involved. I've got a friend who's a Christian who, I won't mention, well, you won't know him anyway. But I remember him talking to me about when we get to heaven, will it be when we die or will it be after Jesus comes back, i.e. do we raise, yeah, are people in heaven now or will they only be in heaven when Jesus comes back? And so they're in some sort of slumber, I suppose, people who died now. And he got quite passionate about it, but I can remember saying to him, I don't know. I can probably look at the Bible and sort of find bits, but I don't really know. And to be honest, I don't really care. All I care about is whether I'm going to be there and whether you're going to be there. Yeah, whether it's straight away when we die or whether it's, you know, whenever Jesus returns. I don't really care. There's so many things in the Bible that we can get involved in disagreements and arguments. Christians, theologians get involved. But there are so many bits in the Bible that are so straightforward. But because they're so hard to take on board, we sometimes miss them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Where's Philippians gone? Where's it gone? There it is. It is before Colossians. Yeah, it is before Colossians. I thought it was. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. How often do we hear arguments about that or discussions about that? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, I think it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. That's quite easy to understand, isn't it? But that is really hard to do. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Never tire of doing what is good. That's what the Bible says to us. Matthew 5:16, we've looked at that one, 1 Timothy. And going back to that 1 Peter passage that I just mentioned earlier, the bit which I didn't understand. But just before that, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, we all know some of this, but sometimes we forget the bit afterwards. Verse 15, and I will start. Verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We quote that quite a lot, and that's a good one to quote. But after that, it goes on to say, but do this with gentleness and respect. If we're honest, as Christians, we don't always do that bit. We're very good at telling people, they're wrong, you're right, the Bible says this, you should believe it. Always be prepared to give an answer, but do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Yeah? What that says to me is, yeah, we need to have the words, we need to be ready to use the words, we need to do it with respect and respect other people's point of view and not try to argue them and shout at them to get into the kingdom. But we also keep in a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously, and there will be people who, to what degree, to one degree or another, speak maliciously against us as Christians, those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour, so we need to have good behaviour in Christ, may be ashamed. The way we live our life, that says to me, the way we live our life is our witness. The way we live our life, when we're with our families, when we're with our Christian friends, when we're in church, and also when we're with people, we're out socially or whatever, with people who aren't Christians. It needs to be standard. It needs to be the same. We need to be living our lives in a way that makes a difference. Last little bit. There's a bit in the Bible that I wouldn't say I disagree with, because you might excommunicate me. You laughed. You're smiling at that idea, Wendy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Bear with me when I get on this one. If for only this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's something that Paul says. And I understand what he's saying there. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, are you saying if our faith is all rubbish, we are of all people most to be pitied? I think another translation says we are men most miserable. And I understand that. But actually, even if everything I believe is rubbish, I think being a Christian has made me happier. I think being a Christian has made me, hopefully, slightly nicer than I otherwise might have been. And that's good. That's got to be good. Our life speaks volumes. If people see us as people who have problems, have doubts, as we saw right at the start, don't always have things easy, but we're still able to live our faith through that, still able to live our life in the way that God wants us to through that. That does make a difference on people around us. That does make a difference. The only important thing then is we need to be spending time with people who we want to see our good works and to turn to God. How can you make Jesus relevant? How can I make Jesus relevant? How can you shine this week? How can you let your good work shine this week? And to who? Ask God during this week how he wants you to shine. Is there one person? One person, not maybe more than one person. Is there one person God wants you to just draw close to in a way that will let that person see your good works? And over a period of time, and it could be months, it could be weeks, could be months, could be years, over a period of time be drawn close to you. I'm going to finish there. Father, would you bless us? Thank you Father, I do thank you for all the bits in the Bible we don't understand, but I particularly want to thank you for those bits that are so straightforward and sometimes are so painfully straightforward that it's obvious that we need to put them into effect and how we put them into effect, but they're hard to do. Easy to understand, but hard to do. Father, thank you for those bits. Help us to never tire of doing good. Help us to find ways to make people make you relevant. Because we know, Father, that you are relevant to people's lives. You're relevant to everybody's lives. But so many people don't see that. So many people don't see that. Father, help us, show us how we can do that in this week ahead. Amen.